good to see everyone here. And you know, probably since it's holiday time and holiday weekend, a lot of people are off on trips and things. So we're glad that you've come to be with us this morning. I'm going to look this morning at the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. Well, actually, beginning at verse 14. It says, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread to many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are not which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan and earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven." Now, read that whole passage there to understand what Paul is talking about there. That in Christ, in our service to the Lord, our faith in him, we have the promise of a blessing that's going to last beyond this time. It's going to be an eternal blessing. But we have to do our part to the best of our limited ability in this life, because we all fall short of what we ought to be. But God has given us by his grace and mercy the opportunity to live and to serve and to be his children. And in this particular passage, we find that Paul is reminding the people in the church at Corinth of God's efforts on our behalf so that we can in return serve him by our faith and in so doing be given the privilege of eternal life. And 2 Corinthians 4 verse 11, he says, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." In other words, what we're supposed to do in this life, we are to live for him every day that we live. It says, "For we who live always are delivered to death for Jesus' sake." Now, we may not be called upon as Christians to actually give our physical life for the cause of Christ. We may be, we may not be. But the idea is a willingness to do whatever God requires of you and me as best we can. And he says that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. In other words, we are to live a life that is an example to others to the best of our limited ability to live as Christ, as an example to others who are around us, to bring them closer to him. And so we look at this passage which we began with, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. And verse 14, he says, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with him, with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound unto the glory of God." Notice he says in verse 14, he says, "Knowing that he who also raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus." Think about that for a minute. Jesus went to the cross. He was nailed there. He shed his life's blood. He died, was put in the grave on the third day. He came up out of the grave. And in so doing, he gives us life. But he says in this passage, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus." Just as he died and was resurrected, when we die physically, we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be in his presence for all of eternity. Jesus did that for you and me. He took our place upon the cross, which is a place we deserve to go to, because we have sinned against God. But he took our place there, a perfect one that lived, the only perfect life that was ever lived. He took our place there so that we wouldn't have to suffer eternally for the sins that we have committed. Well, that's what we deserve to do, but we don't have to because he took our place upon the cross. And he says he will present us with you. In other words, together, all those who have lived faithful to the Lord to the best of their ability and believed in him and followed him, we're going to be brought before him on the day of judgment. And by the blood of Christ shed for you and me, and by the grace of God, we can have eternal life. And he says then that this grace comes, and by that we come to a knowledge and a complete message of the glory of God. He says in verse 15, "For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So he says, "For all things are for our sakes." Jesus came to this earth for the very purpose of going to the cross, shedding his blood for you and me to take away our sins. That's why God the Father sent him to the earth to do that for you and me. So he says, "For all things are for your sakes." God did all of these things for you and me that we could not do for ourselves. We could not die for our own sins. We can't die for the sins of someone else. We can only die because we have sinned, and yet Jesus took our place on the cross. And he says then, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So we are to praise God for what he did through Christ for you and me. So we are to set the example for others around us, that he's going to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, but we can help each other along that way to the blessing of eternal life. And so we look at this passage again, and he says that, these may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We're to praise God every day we live. We do so by coming together to worship and to serve, to commune together. We do so in everyday life when we treat others as the Lord would want us to do so. When we take care of our family and ourselves and each in the way that God wants. And we follow the example of the Lord who set the examples for us. Then he's going to be pleased with us, even though there are times we're going to fall short. And when we do stand up for the Lord and be faithful to him as best we can, he says there that may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Every day we live is to be a day of thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us. And so that's the example we are to set. Verse 16 then, he says there, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Now think about that for a moment. And many have said at times past that we are born into this life for the purpose ultimately of dying. And that sounds maybe a little bit morbid, but it's true. Every day we live is one day closer to the day that we're going to die. But we have to understand in Christ that death, that physical death is not all there is. And so he says, even therefore we do not lose heart. Now, when we lose heart, that means we fall back, we fall away. Some translations there say we not faint. You go back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul there, in speaking to us, as Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart, or if we don't faint or fall back away from God." In other words, hold on every day we live to do the best that we can in the Lord's service. He says, so therefore we do not lose heart. Well, why do we not lose heart? Because we're faithful to him. Because the grace of God allows us to understand that part of our purpose here is to praise God every day we live. It says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward is this physical body. God made us. He created us. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, God says, let us make man in our image. And then in chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now notice, it says we became living soul, not just a physical body, but a spiritual part that lives within us that comes from God. And so, yes, this physical part, every day we live, we get closer to the day that we're going to die physically. But if we're faithful in the Lord, every day we live is a renewal of our spiritual being, and every day we live, we're given a new life for the Lord. And he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I think about that, the idea of renewal. Every day we live is a new day and an opportunity to be faithful to God, to serve him as best we can. And again, he knows we're going to fall short. We're going to sin on occasion and fall short over here and over there. But if we're faithful to him, and we're trying to do our best, even though we're not going to very often, the grace of God's going to forgive where we fall short. So he says we are renewed spiritually day by day. Then he goes on to explain further. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for the moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. Now, sometimes we get weighted down with the problems and troubles and difficulties in life, and we all have them. God never promised that if we're going to be his follower that we wouldn't have trouble, wouldn't have afflictions and problems and illnesses and all of those other things that come to us in life. He never promised those. He said, but if we'll be faithful to him, he will see us through it. So Paul says, for our light affliction, which is for a moment. Now think about that. Often, sometimes life weighs down very heavily upon us. Now if you read through the book of 2 Corinthians over to chapters 10 and 11, Paul begins to talk about all the things that he himself has suffered. There was beatings and imprisonment and all of the things that happened to him. He was stoned and left to die one time. He was shipwrecked a couple of times and all these terrible things that happened to him. And yet he still remained faithful to the Lord. So when Paul says our light affliction, which is for the moment, he wasn't talking about something he did not already understand. He'd already been there. He'd already been through those things. So he is writing the church at Corinth and to us through the word for the same thing. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for the moment. Now, Jesus told us in the book of Matthew, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this affliction that we bear every day of life because we're human beings, he says, yes, it's a burden to bear. But he says, I'll carry it with you. I'll be there with you every step of the way. And so that is what he has promised. So he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's here for a little while, then it's going to be gone, and God's going to take it for us. We look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. The Apostle Peter writing there. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. He says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What does that mean? This thing that we have to bear in life, he says there, it's an affliction but for a moment. In other words, it's here for a little while and then it's going to be gone. But God doesn't look at things in the perspective that we do. We see that we're born, we live, and then we die. Well, God is eternal. He does not live in the restraints of time and space as we do. God is eternal, and He will take us home to be with Him for all of eternity. Now, it may seem sometimes like a long period of time when we're going through suffering or illness or some other difficulty in life, but we're going to get over it, and God will be with us. He'll take care of us, and He has promised to do so. But He says there, it's working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We can't begin to truly understand the concept of eternal. Again, we're finite human beings. We live a life for a few years and then we die. But eternity is forever. And that may sound like a repeat of the same thing, and I guess it is. But the idea is we can't conceive of the idea of being eternal with God. But that's the promise He's giving to you and me. It says an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says there that the problems, the difficulties of life are not worthy to be compared with the joy and the blessing that God is going to give to us if we're faithful to Him, now and forever, and it will never be taken away. So we then look at verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "For while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Okay, we live in this life. Every day we live, we work, we do all the things that we do. We see our families and friends and others, and we come maybe to worship as we should at the times appointed, and we come together in that way. And we see the things around us. And it says, while we do not look to the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So the things that are seen, that are physical, those things eventually are going to be done away with. But he says, we need to look at the things which are not seen. Now that almost sounds like an impossibility or maybe even a contradiction of ideas. But he knows that we can look beyond it in our mind and our understanding to the spiritual nature that is beyond us. We can't see it now because we're physical beings, but we can see it in our mind and heart in what God promises. He says, but the things which are for the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. They are temporary. They're just here for a while. They belong to time. Now you think, you look around in our world and the universe in which we live, and we think, well, okay, these things are eternal. Well, the Bible says they're not. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, even though 1,000 years is with God as a day and a day is 1,000 years, he says there's going to come a time, when all these things will end and the universe in which we live will be burned up. The physical universe is going to be destroyed. So it is not eternal, but the spiritual is. And that's why he says there, for the things which are seen are temporary, things which are not seen are eternal. We have to look beyond the daily life which we live to see things in an eternal form, in an eternal way. Now, to be sure, it's difficult, but God gives us an understanding, at least as far as we can know and understand. Through the Word of God, we study it, we learn it, we try to put it into practice every day. And he's going to help us to be able to understand further what is there for us. And when this physical body is over and our time upon the earth is done. So we go on now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now I might point out right here, the Apostle Paul did not write the book of 2 Corinthians and divide it into chapters and verses. That was done a long time later for the convenience of being able to find easier the passage that we want to look at. But and so the thought is still the same. Because he says there in chapter 4, verse 18, where the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. Then he says, for, and that refers back to what he has just said, for we know that if the earthly house of this tent or tabernacle is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So he says we're to look at the spiritual things, not just at the physical, and realize God is there preparing for us. And in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And that's what he did when he ascended back to his Father, to prepare our place. And so he says the earthly house of this building, this tent, this tabernacle, is going to be done away. Now the word tent or tabernacle is kind of a reference back to the Old Testament, when the Israelites came out of Egyptian slavery and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They did not have a permanent structure like a temple, which would be built later. They had the tabernacle. It was a tent. It was a very elaborate tent, but they could take it down and fold it up and take it wherever they were going next. Well, he says, that's the way our body is. This is a temporary dwelling. This is a tent, a tabernacle, which we're in for a while, and then is taken away. So he says, for we know that if the earthly house, this tent or tabernacle, is destroyed, which it's going to be, we'll all die someday, unless we live to a time when Christ comes back again, if it's in our lifetime. We don't know. We have no promise of even another day. But he says, if we're faithful to him, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's not a physical dwelling. It's a spiritual one. And we can't really understand that, but we know that by faith that it does exist and that God will bring us home to be with him. And so he says there, this physical body is going to die, but he says we have this building of God, a house not made with hands. It's spiritual. And he says then, eternal in the heavens. Again, we cannot conceive of the idea of eternal, that God has always been. He is. He always will be. We can't understand that. But when we get to that side in the presence of God, then there are things like that we will understand. We'll have a concept of eternity because we'll be with God forever. And we turn over for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, again, the Apostle Peter speaking to us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, that's what we've been talking about here. And in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul talks about how God did these things through Christ and his death on the cross by the shedding of his blood, by his resurrection, and by the blood which he shed for us. So he says then, he has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how it happens to us. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. In a sense, in verse 4, he's saying, in a sense, the same thing, but that it's not going to go away. But he says in three different ways. He says, we have an inheritance incorruptible. In other words, when that inheritance comes, nothing from the outside can destroy it. Nothing can take it away from us. It is incorruptible. It cannot be destroyed by any other power, anything else. He says, incorruptible and undefiled. We defile things from within. So it cannot be defiled from within. When we go in the presence of God, we don't have to worry about sinning again. We will never do that again because we will be undefiled. And he says then also, and does not fade away. Time cannot take it away. Time will not destroy it. Time will not cause it to decay and fall apart. It will be forever. And then he says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So if we're in Christ, we're going to be kept by his power. And that doesn't mean we can't sin and fall short. We can. But by the grace of God, we can repent, and He will forgive. And so we go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. He says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." We groan. In other words, we look forward to that. You know, sometimes we become tired of the problems and troubles and difficulties and burdens we bear in life. But he says, we look forward to that time when we're going to be able to receive God and His glory given to us. He says, "For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." We're going to receive a spiritual being, a dwelling, a body to dwell in spiritually in the presence of God. Now, what is it like? We don't know, but it's going to be much greater than this. If you go over and read, for example, in Revelation chapter 1, John the Apostle sees a vision of Christ in His glorified form. Now, bear in mind that John the Apostle was with Jesus for about 3 years during His personal ministry. He saw Him in the physical body every day almost for those 3 years. And yet, John saw Jesus in His glorified form. And he says, I was terrified, and I fell to the ground as one that was dead. I was so terrified of Jesus in His spiritual form. He was so different and so much more powerful and great. Well, Jesus lifted Him up and said, blessed Him. He says, "No, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to take care of you." Well, the same thing for you and me. We'll have this habitation which we can't begin to understand, but He's going to bless us eternally with us. In John chapter 14, we go back to there again. John chapter 14, Jesus called His disciples together before His crucifixion. He told them how He was going to be crucified. He would go in the grave and rise the third day. Then He would ascend back to His Father. It says John 14, 1, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." In other words, as you believe in God the Father, put your faith in Me also. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 2. We groan for the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus went away to prepare a place for you and me for all of eternity. And of course, in doing so, He says, "If I've done so, I will come back and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so we will be able to go there to be with Him for all of eternity. So we have the great promise that God has given. We have the hope that the Lord gives us every day. Well, how do we obtain that? We do so by believing and obeying the things He has commanded. And in Mark chapter 16, Jesus gave the great commission to His apostles. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." So those who refuse to believe and obey the things the Lord has commanded, they will face condemnation. Those who believe Him and follow Him every day, by the grace and the love and the mercy of God, we will be forgiven and be given a promised life that's going to last forever. But we have to make a decision. Every day we live is a decision to follow the Lord or not. Now this morning we're going to issue an invitation. That invitation is for anyone who feels the need to obey and follow the will of God. If you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord and have the prayers of the church or whatever it may be that you need in your life, if you need to come now, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.